Hi, everyone, and welcome to Trustfolio's Debt Tech Podcast. My name is Lee Usher, Credit Services Director at Trustfolio, and my colleague, Peter Walwork, who is Non-Exec Director at Trustfolio, joins me for this first episode.
Hello.
Peter, we recorded the first episode last week at the IRRB conference in the Queen's Hotel lobby in Leeds. Some background noise as a result, but I thought the recording went really well for the first episode. Did you?
Yeah, not too bad. We had one or two technical issues, which made it a bit more lively, but it all added to the mix, which was good. Craig was certainly on form, our first guest, and obviously someone we know quite well. But we put some quite good questions to him, which immediately I've said that now. Of course, I can't remember what we said.
Well, the theme of the podcast is debt and tech, and looking at how digital solutions can support those in financial difficulties and collections roles and advice roles. But I thought some of Craig's responses to the questions we posed were excellent. And one in particular, we touch on the CSA Wide of the Mark report that was published a couple of weeks back and generated lots of good debate and raised questions around the value of the advice, really. And Craig, given his role at MAPS, he gave a real candid response to that in terms of what his view was and what we need to do going forward. So I think the listeners would be really interested to hear what those views are.
Yeah, I think he really unpacked it quite well, to be honest with you, because I think some of the reaction to that piece, Wide of the Mark, really sort of, I think people just sort of saw the headline and thought it was aimed at debt advisors when it isn't. It's got an awful lot more to it. I suppose I'm speaking a little bit sort of biased because I used to be at the CSA and I know the sort of things Henry was talking about when he wrote that. So I sort of saw it through those eyes. And Craig, bless him, I don't think was expecting us to ask that question, but he did answer it really well. And his comments about it were really good, as I'm sure you'll hear if you carry on listening to this podcast. So what should we do? Should we run titles?
Let's go for it.
Let's do it. Here we go.
The Debt Tech Podcast with Peters and Lee.
No, it's not Peters and Lee. It's Peter and Lee.
Should we just go, yeah?
Yes.
I was going to ask you, I'd like to ask you something that's not in the script. You might not want to answer it, or you might not want to put it on the podcast.
That'll come back to bite at some point. Not literally.
Stop tittering in my ear. Sitting too close to me. I'm getting hot now.
I thought you were looking at me to see how I want to speak.
The Debt Tech Podcast with Peter and Lee.
Hello and welcome to Trustfolio's Debt Tech Podcast from the experts in digital tools for better debt solutions. I'm Lee Usher, Trustfolio's Credit Services Director.
And I'm Peter Walwork, former Chief Exec of the UK trade body for the debt collection sector, the Credit Services Association, and now Non-Exec Director at Trustfolio.
Today is a bit special. We're bringing you the podcast from the Queen's Hotel in Leeds at the IRRB Spring Conference. And delighted to have a special guest support in our first podcast. Mr. Craig Simmons is Head of Debt Policy and Strategy at the Money and Pensions Service, and Craig's here to discuss what we believe to be key in reaching millions more people struggling with debt, and that's using technology to enable better debt solutions that's tailored to the needs of those in financial difficulties. Now, before we get into that, though, a quick introduction to Craig. Craig, how are you?
I'm very well, Lee. Good to be here.
It's been a tough couple of years for everyone, but it's been particularly a tough couple of years for you. Not to County fan, and I can sympathise with you as a Sunderland fan. Big game ahead for both of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Tonight, is yours tonight?
Oh, it's until Monday next week.
Oh, Monday next week, and mine's out the weekend. So hopefully we're in good spirits after that. So, Craig, thanks for joining us. It's an important discussion point. We're going to get straight into it. We're going to try and keep these podcasts around 15, 20 minutes long, quite succinct, so straighten out the conversation. Now, the first point, I want to pick your brains on. 8.5 million people in the UK are struggling with debt. 1.8 million currently receiving debt advice, and MAPS want to double that number by 2030. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're going to do that, Craig?
Starting with the easy questions.
Straighten. You went for the hard one.
Well, I think there's probably two things at the heart, one of which is we've obviously got to build capacity for serving people. We don't have that there at the moment, and we'll need more capacity. But that's only one part of it. Of course, you need to increase access to debt advice. Right. There's lots of people out there who need support and who aren't currently getting it. So the access is absolutely key to it. Probably worth me just touching briefly on how we're going to build capacity. We've been fortunate that we've been able to build a case to get more funding for debt advice in the last couple of years. It's now about 80% higher than it was pre-pandemic. So we're doing an exercise at the moment to commission more debt advice, and we're doing some tailored commission as well to commission things like debt relief order administration, a mental health access mechanism for breathing space, and business debt advice commissioning as well. I should also say, probably quite relevant to this conversation, Peter, we're also doing some investment in digital things as well. As part of that commissioning, we're asking bidders to propose innovation that will involve tech, will involve digital. And Maps is also preparing a new white label tool which supports people with the budgeting process. So that's really how we build capacity. Lee, is it worth me talking a little bit about access at this point, or do you want me to come back to that?
I've got to say, mine, I think you've been very professional there with Mr. Walworth taking pictures as you speak and put you in front of the camera.
Testing his nerve.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, go for it.
No, well, it's obviously a big one in the sense of it's been a long period where we've had more people that need debt advice and actually come forward and present for it. It's not an easy nut to crack. Certainly we'd have done it by now if it was easy. So there's a few things Maps are doing, but there's lots of things going on across the debt advice sector. So let me just briefly talk about Maps's PACE pilot, which we now call the Money Advisor Network.
I'm a big supporter of the PACE pilot.
I'm very pleased to hear that, Lee, and you're not alone in that, thankfully. But that's a way of working really closely with creditor organisations to say, if you've got people who have fallen behind on payments, who are showing signs of struggling with their finances, please refer them to Maps via our virtual contact centre platform, which means you can send them to Maps, and Maps will then allocate them to where there's capacity in the sector to serve them. It's been very popular so far, so I hope we'll do some more of that.
Did I read on, was it LinkedIn, you've had a couple of bigger telecoms companies join recently?
We have. We've had EE and BT come on board, and they've really taken to it like a duck to water, I must say, in the sense of they're referring big numbers through to our advisors.
Brilliant.
And that's great news.
Yeah.
There's people there who wouldn't have been getting debt advice before who are now getting debt advice. And that's the whole point of it, really.
Yeah.
So I'm really pleased to see that working. But I think we're up to about 75 creditors now.
Wow, brilliant.
On that infrastructure. And I suspect there'll be more, actually, given that need is growing and they've got the cost of living crisis and all that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a really busy time ahead.
Excellent.
Can I ask you, is what I know as PACE still, is that achieving what it set out to do originally? Have you got as much functionality in it as you hope to have?
I'd say to date we've got the vast majority of what we hoped. And the key one is that referral point in debt advice and then out to where there's available capacity. That bit's worked really well. I know today's a lot about technology, and a big part of it as well was testing open banking functionality. That bit has been a bit more mixed, actually, because whilst the tool was available, debt advisors, it wasn't integrated in their systems, and that made it a bit clunky. So whilst there were lots of things that suggested it worked, there are a few barriers that got in the way of it working really effectively. So it's one of those that are kind of a partial success, really. And the last bit that was really key, that's, again, a tiny bit mixed, has been there's been a desire from creditors to get feedback on what's happened when they make the referral to debt advice. And while we've got partial information going back to creditors, which I know is proving valuable to them, we haven't yet got the full suite that they'd be keen to get. So there's a few barriers to get over there as well, but we need to make sure we're doing things in the right way, protecting people's data. But I think there's still another step to go there. So in a nutshell, I'd say it's been a pretty good success, but there's always areas to learn and build on in future, and that's what I hope we'll do next with PACE. Lee, let me just briefly, because I really wanted to cover these because I think access is such a big thing. I think access via creditors is going to be massive in terms of access to debt advice. Maps won't have a massive marketing budget or anything like that, and I suspect many of our providers won't either. So creditors are the ones with the links to people who are missing payments, quite rightly, and as we know, engagement's really tough. But obviously there's a link there. We really encourage creditors to refer either to the Money Advisor Network or any other kind of partnership they might get with the debt advisor community. Last two things, I'll be really quick because I know we're going to make this concise.
breathing, is the short version.
Yeah, believe me, this is the short version. Breathing space, we really want to capitalise on. It's been live about a year now. Take-up's not been great thus far, but it really has got some attractive protections for consumers for 60 days where you're not pursued for your debts and everything is frozen while you seek help with your debts. Last but not least is online search for debt advice. I know we're talking a lot about digital today. Quite understand we all reach for Google, our phones, and we want something. If you Google debt advice, or any other search engine for that matter, or the search engines are available.
Yeah. Okay.
You get some not so favourable returns, in my view. There's a lot of lead generation, a lot of misleading advertising, and we need to tackle that. Some people need to make sure they've got reliable returns when they go and search online for debt advice. So that's a big area of focus for me, certainly.
Excellent, yeah. I mean, all of that makes sense, and you've mentioned the focus is on digital, pace, or what's now known as the Money Advisor Network. That's really a digital solution to a challenge that was making a complex referral mechanism simple for creditors, and I really do believe that does that. When we speak to people, though, around fintech or digital solutions, some people we speak to only see the opportunities, some people we speak to only see a risk. And the reality is that it's probably just more likely to be a bit of both, really. How do MAPS ensure, when you're looking at different solutions to support customers in financial difficulties, how do you maximise that opportunity from the digital tools that's out there and minimise the risk?
Well, it's a really good question. Because if you think, you've got the spectrum there, you speak about those who see a lot of risk, those who see the opportunity with it. I think MAPS has got a really big role in kind of bringing those groups together. We'll only crack this nut if you can get those opposing views together and talk it through. Because there's merit in both those arguments. We do need to be careful with the risks that come along with tech, but we can't ignore the potential benefits that are there. So if we can take both of those things together, we might be able to find the middle ground. That means we can take a big step forward, but in a way that's not going to risk consumer detriment. It's not going to mean things fall over. And I think that's a really big one for both MAPS, but also everyone in the sector, because when it comes to making services more efficient, more impactful, I think it's easy to think, well, that's a soundbite, well, that's PR, that's spin. But ultimately, if we can get that right, we'll be able to serve more people with the limited resources we've got available. And I think that's what everybody wants to do. It's vital we'll be able to serve all the demand that will be coming our way.
Agreed, yeah. And I think that what you touched on there in terms of bringing the two sides together is really important. And it's not always the case that the two sides do want to meet and speak, but I mean, I trust for you, we've got different products and solutions, and we see the opportunity there. We've got the evidence now in terms of the impact that good quality digital solutions and data sharing can have. And it's just bringing more people into that discussion and debate, I suppose, in terms of how we move forward. And we're not the only one. There's lots of other good fintechs out there doing slightly different things.
It's where having good results really pay off, because if you've got doubters, of course, and it's quite legitimate to have doubts about these things, if you've got proof that it works for people and it supports people, I think that's going to really help with it. And I think the other thing to mention that's often confused, when people hear about digital innovation and tech, they think it's all about making sure people have delivered debt advice in a digital way, you know, be that online with whizzy tools that they self-serve with. I don't think that's purely what this is about. If we can give advisors tools that makes their life easier, it makes what they do more impactful and swift, it's better for the client that's got that in front of them as well. There's big wins there also, and I think one of the things we've learned in the pandemic is that, of course, many face-to-face services were shut because of the lockdown restrictions. And what I've seen is some really quite light touch use of technology, but it's been super impactful. So if you think things like e-signatures on documents, you know, for years people have been having to come into offices to sign things. There was use of e-signatures, and then people can do it from the comfort of their own homes. And whilst that was necessary in lockdown, I think I'm now seeing it used as standard practice. And it's a small thing, but it's made a big difference to people, and the way that documents are stored in a digital way now. You know, it's, again, it's not breaking new ground, but it is making sure that people can do things in a seamless way that's convenient for them, and it works for the advisor as well. And there's big wins there as well.
I mean, you've hit the nail on the head, and you've given a couple of good examples as to how simple digital solutions can have a big impact. Ryan Hayes, our COO of DASP, the Debt Advisor Support Portal, he's always saying that digital tools shouldn't replace the human. It should enhance what they do and make their job easier and more effective and efficient, if you like. So, yeah, fully on board with that and agree.
I would just say, Lee, really, really briefly, we talked about those who see the risk in it. You know, debt advice clients do tend to be in complex circumstances. We know they're often chased by creditors or debt collectors, and it means they might struggle to trust things that they've not recognised before, things that are innovative and new. And I think that's where the dialogue comes in so key, because if you only see tech and the opportunity, you might not see some of the situations that people in problem debt might find themselves in. That's why dialogue is so key, so we can work through and find solutions that are going to work for people in the particular situations they're in. It won't be one size fits all, of course.
Yeah, I think as well we've got not we as in Trustfolio, but the fintech sector maybe, or the commercial debt advice sector even, have got to take some responsibility for how they position some of these digital solutions in the early stages, and maybe overpromised in terms of what they could do. And debt advisors especially maybe felt as though they were being pushed out, and that narrative's changing now to say, no, it's not to replace you as a debt advisor, it's to support what you do and support your customers. So I think that's really important.
The CSA put out a report called Wide of the Mark in the last couple of weeks, I think. And having been the chief exec of that organisation, I read it and I sort of recognised a lot of the things that we've been talking about in trying to work out how much the credit industry should pay towards free debt advice, and some of the motivators around getting them to pay more money. And one of the things that I often talked about, and you touched on this a little earlier, is, you know, creditors wanting some sort of feedback. So I think one of the problems they've got is that, especially through the FCA's levy, the debt advice levy, it feels like it's a lot of money being paid and don't really know what's happening to it. I just wondered what sort of thoughts you had in response to the CSA's document, first and foremost, and whether that, do you think we can ever get to that stage where we can get data back off the back of debt advice, or do you think debt advisors are all going to say, look, this is just a load more paperwork I've got to fill in to try and show what I've done, what on earth I need to do this for? Sorry, there's three questions in one.
No, well, let me take the one around data first, because I think we've probably taken a good step forward on that in this recent commissioning exercise. It's obviously probably lost in the detail of what we're doing. But we're requiring of those who are successful in the commissioning process to report much more granular level data to us. We're hoping to make sure it's all relevant stuff. We don't want to ask providers to do things that aren't relevant, it's going to be used. But we want to have data about our customers and our clients, understand what's happening with them, and understand what the outcomes of debt advice are.
Yeah.
I think that's important for creditors who want to know what's coming out of the side of debt advice, but it's really important to MAPS to be able to demonstrate the value that we're deriving from debt advice. But also, in these strange times we live in, where we've got cost of living, very uncertain economy at the moment, having data about what's happening and the value of debt advice may support any further investment we want to make in debt advice, for example. So I think data is very important. I think MAPS is taking a good step forward in making sure we've got adequate data. I don't want to over-ask for data, but I want to make sure it's adequate and powerful. Let me just comment a little bit on the report that CSA put out as well, because I think I can't have it on two sides of my face here, in the sense of I will go around advocating dialogue, collaboration between creditor sectors and the advice sector in any form I possibly can. So I can't then say when somebody steps forward, puts something into the public debate, that it's not welcome. So I think the CSA have done a bold thing by putting that out into the public domain, actually, because what's in the report, publicly, I've heard said privately by many creditors for a good number of years now, actually. And they've been reluctant to put that in the public domain. And I think it's, in some ways it's good that it's in the public domain. It means we now have to debate it, discuss it, and let's try to work through what the middle ground is. Again, we talked about it earlier in the podcast, where you have opposing views, where you've got to have dialogue. It's the only way of finding middle ground, because if things have been privately in dark corners of rooms, we never get anywhere. We just grow resentment, actually. Sure. So I think it's really good that we can now point to something that means we've got some debate and discussion around it. And I'd encourage people on both sides of that debate, actually, not to shy away from discussion about it. It's easy to throw mud at one another, but we've got to work through it. So I think debt advice is going through such an interesting period in its evolution. We're going to see a lot more demand for debt advice. We know the structure of funding for debt advice could be massively improved. And if we're going to get change, we're going to have to address some of these things. So it's not just credit the zoo. We want to see some of these things. I think there are those that certainly who MAPS have to answer to. Those who are also funding debt advice more broadly want to know and understand. And I think if we're going to build the case for a better funded debt advice sector, we're going to have to stand up and face some of these things. So I'm glad we have the debate. Might not agree with absolutely everything that's in there, but I think some good merit in what's been said that we can build on. And let's just make sure we can have this debate in the right spirit, because I think that's so important.
No, I think you're right. I mean, some of the instant feedback I heard from debt advisors was they felt it was aimed at them. They seemed to take it quite personally. And, you know, I think I sort of commented back to you, Lee, that, you know, I'd read it with my old pair of CSA specs on, and sort of knew what they were trying to say and knew what they were trying to get to, or at least I think I do anyway. I don't think the message has changed particularly from there. And it was always pretty constructive, those things we were saying, because it was to achieve something good. But I think that dialogue you talk about is really important, because the debt advisors seem to have taken it personally, and it's not personal. It's just, let's make it work better for the greater good.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I mean, it feels like one of those kind of cliches.
I'm not speaking for the CSA.
No, but
it's interesting to hear what your views were. Now,
I think you're absolutely right, and it's such an easy cliche to say people need to talk and there needs to be dialogue, but it's true. It is one of those things. The only way we're going to work things through is through liaison and discussion, actually. So let's hope we get some of that.
Yeah, good.
I think that's a very honest response and appraisal. Definitely. By Craig from the Money and Pension Service. I know Money and Pension Service coming for a bit of a kick in our times, but it's people.
For most quarters,
you've got to thank this task, really, I suppose, but it's people like Craig who are prepared to come out and speak at the conferences and events and the regional forums and things like this. Is a testimony, really, to MAP's willingness to engage on these sensitive matters. So well done to you for that. Now, I've just got one more question, because I think we're running out of time. And it's a question, Craig, for you with your MAPS hat on. So in your opinion, what is the most important target for MAPS to deliver on over the next 5 years?
Well, I think for MAPS itself, Lee, it's almost a simpler question to end on, almost, in that we have to deliver more high quality debt advice through our partners. I'm absolutely convinced this additional need, you know, I was talking about it at the conference earlier today here, actually, need for debt advice is going up. Demand for debt advice is going to go up. I really do believe that. But I think it's key that we're not just focused purely on pure numbers of people helped. A lot of people with complex circumstances as well. I need to make sure whatever advice is given, it's effective for people in a range of different circumstances. So I think for MAPS, it's more high quality debt advice, more impactful debt advice, and that means delivering on many of the things we're now setting out to do.
Brilliant. Well, lots more to discuss in the future podcast.
Definitely.
Look, we'll end it there. Thank you to Craig for his honest and frank answers to the questions that were posed. So hopefully we'll get you on again at some point, Craig. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks to the millions of listeners from all over the UK.
And beyond,
yes.
For listening to this. That's my mum, I would imagine.
And mine.
We're counting on both your mothers, actually. Yeah.
It's our first episode of the Trustfolio Debt Tech podcast, and I'm sure we'll learn and grow from this. We've got some exciting guests lined up, so don't forget to like and subscribe for future episodes and catch up on past episodes when we get to that stage. And we'll be back soon with a new expert guest talking all things tech and debt in terms of solutions in the sector. So in the meantime, visit trustfolio.co.uk and follow Trustfolio Limited on LinkedIn and Twitter for all the latest news from us. But for now, it's bye from me.
Lee. Bye from me, Peter, and...
Thanks very much for having me on. Bye, everyone.
Right, well, if you're listening to me now, that means you've managed to get to the end of the very first Debt Tech podcast with me, Peter, and my great colleague, Lee. Congratulations, we hope you've enjoyed it. It's just me here now, as you imagine, finishing the job as Mr. Rusher is flying off to a remote Greek island to recoup from all the hard work we've been doing to put this masterpiece together. Remember to look out for podcast number 2, which we'll be recording in the next few weeks. We've already got a long queue of guests waiting to talk to us about how they see digital resources being used to help debt advisors make the most of the time they have with their clients. In the meantime, if you'd like to know a bit more about what we lovingly call Debt Tech, head over to trustfolio.co.uk on the World Wide Web.